Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
Thank you for being patient as I worked out some technical difficulties here at Mudto Studios. This is The Uncommon Shaman. I am your host, Mud Sasquatch. Thank you for joining me this evening. It was a pretty good week. It's been a decent week because I'm not going to talk about politics. Not that there isn't stuff that I could use some talking about, but plenty of other people doing that. I'm going to leave that to them. I know I kind of had a moment of weakness last week and delved in myself, but I'm going to take a break from that for a while and just talk about the things the spirit has knocked into my head to rattle around a bit and then come out through my mouth. And I hope that these airwaves, they find someone who needs to hear them. And the week is a calm one. Worked a couple of days at the hospital. So this was an interesting one. I had, I can't give all the details because, someone out there might give them away to an OSU medical student. Someone in Australia, let's say, probably knows someone in medical school. Never mind. I'm not supposed to give away all the details, so I won't. But I had this particular case. What I do at the medical school, for those of you who haven't heard me say it before, is they give me a list of symptoms and I portray a case, and the medical students have to figure out what's wrong with me. And it's track for them before they're turned loose on actual patients. So I had, I won't tell you what all the maladies were, but I had to wear some facial makeup. I had a fake IV put into my arm. See, I had prosthetic swelling on my feet. And what else? There's something else. I don't remember. Those three would have been enough fun by themselves, but there was something. Oh, I had an oxygen mask too. It's just like kind of like being in a fighter plane. This wasn't not terribly uncomfortable, but yeah, I've been more uncomfortable doing the job. But was there for a little while and being questioned. And all manner of people coming in, different. This was different disciplines coming in and talking to people the way they would be if they were doing rounds at a hospital. And so I got asked the same questions a lot. So I got to be a little bit irritated, which is nice. It's fun. Being irritated is fun. And I kind of had my own little touch. I told them they were calling me by the wrong name, but I put a different name. And they've been calling me. And they had every reason to call me because it wasn't on the sheet that way. But it's something that the students are all expected to do is to ask, is it all right if I call this? What do you prefer to be called? And nobody asked. So I figured I'd just throw that in. It's a little educational gift from Mudto. And did another one where they just pumped me up a blood pressure cuff. They put a blood pressure cuff on me and pumped me up for practice about 70 times altogether. And that really wasn't because I didn't. They were just practicing, so they didn't just practicing the technique of pumping up, and how fast they're supposed to pump up and so forth. So they didn't insist that I have my arm sticking out, in the air all the time, the way you're supposed to do with when they're taking your blood pressure. Now, I've done things in the past where they were putting the cuff on, and I had to have my arm out like that all day. And I tell you, that was more. That's actually painful after 3 hours. I had more pain them just putting the cuff on than I did from them pumping me up all day. So that was interesting and probably the last one of those I'm going to do for a while because not this coming week, but next week I'm going back to the standardized test grading, doing some stuff for fourth graders this time. Not exactly sure how it's going to work because I haven't worked for this particular company before, but they have made me a supervisor. I think I mentioned that last week, and I don't know how that's going to work. So we'll see going back, but then that's on not this Monday, but next Monday. The day before that, next Sunday, my daughter is getting married. So there's some events going on here. Looking forward, I guess No, I guess I'm looking forward to the wedding. I mean, I want her to be happy, and she seems to be happy with this guy, and then he seems to be a nice enough guy. Second wedding for her, unfortunately. I mean, unfortunately in the sense that I wish she would have been happy the first time, you know. But I think she inherited it from me because I've been married and divorced twice, so I'm sorry about that. It's tough. That's tough action, man. That's a tough job, finding that other person. It's the old story. I always think about that it's a Greek myth. Actually, I think it comes from the Symposium, a Greek work of Greek literature. But it's proposed. Someone in the story told a story that the origins of love, and it's been repeated in Hedwig and the Angry Inch. That says the idea is that at one time all human beings were born, you know, complete, and you know they had extra set of eyes, extra set of arms, extra set of legs, you know, two souls that were perfectly matched for each other and all of that. And the gods got angry, you know, for whatever reason it is the gods get angry, and they split all the human beings in half and scattered them all over the world. And it says that human being is now. Is now doomed to walk the earth looking for the missing half of him or herself, or him and himself, or whatever it is. Because they reckon all that, they had all that in there, by the way. It wasn't just men and women. They had other stuff in there, too. But I found that an interesting way to express it. You know, the idea of the twin flame, and there's someone out there for everyone. And expressed even in that, you know, that long ago, in that sort of format. So there's that. I'm going to be going to work. Hopefully, have a little bit more cash at my disposal. Be able to do a few more things. I tell you this a couple of days ago. I had a neighbor tell me she was getting ready to move, and she didn't have anywhere to move her stuff, so she's trying to get rid of it. And for a really nominal monetary outlay, I think I ended up $41 altogether. I got a kitchen table and a curio table. I don't know if that's actually that. It seems to me that's what gets good. It's like a tall, thin table. It's like one drawer, and it's mostly air. You know, it's just like a thin drawer in it, and then a wide, a sort of long, wide top, like you would put, you know, knickknacks on. So I call that the curio table. I don't know exactly if that's exactly what it is. But I got a couple end tables and some knickknacks, which I really wasn't interested in, but she was very anxious to get rid of them. I might try and give them to my daughter. I wouldn't foist that, not for wedding. I wouldn't foist that off on her as a wedding present. I did get her something. What else? There's something else. Oh, placemats. I got placemats too. So it's all, you know, there can be advantages to living here in the demilitarized zone. Sometimes you pick up some. It's like IKEA type furniture, you know, with the screws in it that you can see the screws. But it's great. It's heavy enough. It's sturdy. It'll work. So, and I've already started putting them to use. So that's great. Well, I've covered a lot of material in just a very short time, haven't I? Well, I have to because I burned the first 5 minutes of the episode. That the music I played for you, by the way, was from the New Year's drum circle. I have called it Daughters of Circe because we had some belly dancers doing their thing to that music. I like the energy. Trying to sort of maybe pump myself up a bit because this is later. I had to push the show. That's right. I thought that all went awful quick. We had to push the show. I had to push the show back to 11:30 because I went to an event, a Nimenhai event with Chief Cloudpiler, who's in town, and he's not in town very often, so I wanted to see him speak. So I was there, and I didn't know if I would get back in time to start the show at 10:30. I would have just barely made it, but I'd already set up the show for 11:30, so here I am. I don't know how much I want to say. I did enjoy the talk. I don't know how much I want to say about it because it is his talk, and you know, he's trying to get other people to come and see him. It's about, you know, what we eat and what we should eat, and how the things how the little critters that live in our systems that keep us going are affected. You know, the same critters that also can make us sick, and why for many generations we've just made a mistake about how we handle those critters, and we've made we've made things much worse. It makes things much worse as our relationship to bacteria and viruses, to the point where we may be in trouble as a species. So, you know, talk about how you eat, how you use, you go back to nature's ways, how nature kept us healthy back in the day. What are the things to eat? That's what he was talking about. And of course, I'm eating all the wrong things. And tested my blood pH. That's the big thing about your pH. You want your pH to be alkaline, not acidic. And you see a lot of stuff, a lot of talk about it. If you have friends who do nutritional stuff, you'll probably hear about that. You know, you want your blood pH to be alkaline, not acidic. Well, mine was pretty acidic. So now, great. Now I gotta go and start eating kale. Stop eating. I mean, I think the big culprit is and always has been the soda. That's what I gotta cut down on. I mean, that is for the sake of my blood sugar as well. But I switched to Faygo mostly because of the cost. But I really just need to get rid of it. Start drinking water. I think kind of the rest of my life. It's not the rest of your life, but still the idea of curtailing it is bad because, you know, I'm an American and I don't like to give things up. So anyway, let me talk about what I was, I titled this episode, Leave King Arthur Alone. I had this amazing reaction. I had to kind of sit back and experience it, watch myself react. I was at the casino and they show, well, it's the Hollywood Casino, so they show trailers of the new movies that are coming, and evidently there's a new King Arthur movie coming out, and I think it's Jude Law is in it. I couldn't quite tell if he was playing Arthur. He's probably a little old for that part, but anyway, I couldn't. It's either he's Arthur or he's someone else, and they've kind of sexed him up. They've kind of changed the story around. And I don't like it, and I had a very bad reaction to it. And I'm like, I was walking around the casino talking to myself. King Arthur, you know. Because they've done the same thing with a lot of these superheroes, and I would class King Arthur as a very early superhero. I mean, he has the sword and he could do things with it. God watching over him and all that. So all the superheroes are getting this sort of. The sort of makeover that I don't really. I mean, they're all angsty now. I mean, Batman used to have the corner on angst. I think it's mostly because he didn't have any actual superpowers, but he was the angsty one. He was the angsty superhero. Now they're all angsty. They're all grumpy. They're all not just something's just bugging them. Something's bugging them all the time, and then almost. It gets them in trouble. You know, they can't stay focused because they're focused on this thing that's bugging them. And so now you got these movies where you're putting six of them in the same movie and they're all bugging each other. And then they had one last year where they had one group of six superheroes and a different group of six superheroes. They got bugging so much. They ran at each other. I didn't see this movie. I just saw the trailer, but they just ran at each other. You know, it's like what could be more satisfying to the movie audience? It's just to freaking kill each other. And aren't superheroes supposed to be the good guys? I thought that was my understanding, that superheroes were the good guys. They're supposed to represent what was best in us and what we hoped we could be, what we hoped we could become. And I don't want to become these guys. I don't want to have anything to do with these guys. I mean, like one gal now, Wonder Woman is back. Now, Wonder Woman actually kind of could have used, but not because it was this, don't know. I guess she is. You'd have to say she was sort of an empowered character, but she was always this female with the boobs and the short shorts, and it was more. It seemed to me like it was always, you know, the Linda Carter, more about that than it was about her being a serious superhero. Although she did have, you know, she did have positive drives and good goals, and she never, as far as I know, she never, you know, killed anybody who didn't deserve it. So she got a movie coming out. I think that's one thing that disturbs me, is we're just being inundated with these superhero movies. It's like, again, trying to convince us, I think, I don't know, convince is the right word. We look up to our heroes, at least I did. Maybe this has ended. Maybe people don't do this anymore. Looked up to my heroes to teach me how to be. And I don't want my doctors and my lawyers and my, from this generation coming up to act like Superman and Batman and Flash and Wonder Woman and Mr. Iron and all the other ones are acting. We got the new Power Rangers movie out too. Oh God, I don't know. But at least I don't know. I haven't been able to. I've got about 10 seconds into the. I can't even watch the trailer. The Power Rangers. No, I can't even watch this. But I mean, again, at least, you know, the kids, they didn't seem to have any parents at all, and they were kind of on their own. But they were positive. They were trying to make, you know, positive change. And I don't know. I hope that they haven't abandoned that. I did notice that they don't actually transform into the big bad warriors anymore. That the warriors are the rangers are. I guess they're the rangers, but they're driving machines now. It isn't like there was an older show. I'm trying to think of Voltron. I think it was where the people were driving machines. So it's sort of Power Rangers has sort of has adopted the Voltron model, if you will, and become a different thing. And I don't plan on seeing any of them. I'm hoping that I don't know what it's been a number of years since I've heard about a movie that I wanted to see. I almost went and saw the Batman Lego movie, or Lego Batman movie, however you say it. But anyway, I did look into this. And I totally forgot about this. I looked into the King Arthur movie to find out, you know, what it was all about. And I Googled it. And when I Googled it, this other thing came up. It's King Arthur Flour, a company that makes is the King Arthur Flour Company, formerly the Sands, Taylor & Wood Company, is an American supplier of flour ingredients, baking mixes, cookbooks, and baked goods. Well, how do you like that? Founded in 1790 with 325 employees, and it's employee-owned. So how about that? King Arthur Flour. Okay, now back to the game. It's just one of those things it tickles me because you don't expect it. Okay, so we got here. This is the stuff on King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. It's coming out in May. It says, when young Arthur's father is murdered, okay, we're off the rails right away. Vortigern, Jude Law. Okay, so Jude Law is not Arthur. He's someone else. He seizes the crown. Robbed of his birthright with no idea who he truly is, Arthur, Charlie Hunnam, comes up the hard way in the back alleys of the city, but once he pulls the sword from the stone, his life is turned upside down. He is forced to acknowledge his true legacy, whether he likes it or not. Oh, there's a little bit in there. I do see Guy Ritchie directed it, which upsets me, because I like Guy Ritchie. He made a couple of really nice movies. Lower budget, you know, but very good, even on a low budget. He did Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, and also Snatch. And this guy who's in both of those movies went on to do to have an action franchise of his own. What was his name? Well, anyway. So, you know, Guy Ritchie, he's got a resume. It's I was thinking this and I looked it up and I was right. King Arthur 2004. There was a King Arthur movie not long ago. And I think there's a different thing is where it was kind of a stripped down King Arthur time without all of the, you know, sword in the stone stuff, da, 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 and that kind of thing. They kind of left it out. Let me just, I kind of strayed from what I wanted to say about this. King Arthur is not angsty. It doesn't work if he's angsty. If he's angsty, he's like everybody else. He's just got a bigger sword. King Arthur is good. He is a force for good, for bringing, you know, the land, the country out of darkness. And he's, you know, I remember seeing in the trailer, this is what set me off. It's something about when you're the king, there aren't any rules or something like that. And that's like 180 degrees around from what King Arthur is supposed to stand for. King Arthur was all about the rules. He has a great line in Nigel Terry as King Arthur in Excalibur. Has this great line. He says, my laws must bind everyone high and low, or they're not laws at all. Now, that's something our elected officials here could stand a lesson in. I mean, that's that example that we have. That he and his knights stood for justice and fairness and equity and all the things that are being thrown in the toilet now. And now King Arthur is being thrown in the toilet too. And I don't know whether it's the first follows from the second, or the second follows from the first. I don't know, but I do know I don't like it. And I know that if I'd have known, of course they're not going to listen to me, but I would have implored them, just leave me King Arthur. You know, all of my childhood heroes have been, you know, shot up with steroids. You know, they're tearing people up, and you know, just what am I trying to say? That they're indulging their own impulses. A true hero wouldn't do that. A true hero wouldn't think of himself first. King Arthur never thought of himself first. Superman never thought of himself first, but he sure as hell does now. I don't know about Wonder Woman. I haven't seen her yet. But anyway, okay. I mean, those other ones, they're gone. I understand that. But you've got to reach back into the 13th freaking century and take King Arthur away from me. That's just not fair, man. It's not fair. Leave me King Arthur. You can have all the other ones. Leave me King Arthur. But no, he's gone. You know, the old King Arthur, the King Arthur movie they made, they made it in 2004. It says here, let me look. It says they made $204 million. Now, if this movie does anything at all like that, you know there's going to be, King Arthur, Grail, gets the Grail, King Arthur. It's going to be, there'll be four or five of them. And with each one of them, the positive energy that comes off of it, comes off of that Arthur legend becomes diminished. And eventually the new version becomes the accepted one, and that, frankly, terrifies me. But anyway, I'm out of time. Thank you for listening to me. I will be here in some way, shape, or form next week. There's some difficulty with the Friday date, but we'll work it out. And come back, and maybe I'll be talking about something. I was going to say it makes more sense. This makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. So I'm not even gonna apologize for it. This was an amazing show. Okay, thank you so much, and I will talk to you next week. Bye now.